We are. Yes. Absolutely. We are on your Gimel Amud Beis. Let's go. The fact that we start later doesn't mean I can actually end later. I still have to get on. So, we have been talking about this business of the Gemar Malacha for Meiser, as well as for the definition of Malacha in terms of violating Shabbos. And the question that we had asked was, if collecting a handful of this stuff, where you shell it and then you collect a handful of it, is considered the Gemar Malacha as far as Meiser is concerned, so it triggers my obligation to tithe, then why wouldn't it also be Malacha as far as Shabbos is concerned? And we read Sheshes Breder of Edi, and he often appears as Sheshes Breder of Edi, I believe it's the same person. But Sheshes Breder of Edi says, I don't understand. It is, if you're looking at your Gimel Amud Beis, you're about a dozen lines up from the bottom. So, Maskif La Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi. Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi challenges Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, who had asked the question in the first place, and he says, V'lo, why not? V'hagarnan L'maiser. What about the following source regarding what is considered goren? The goren meaning granary. What is considered the granary stage as far as triggering the obligation of meiser? Hisnan, ezu garnan lemeiser, hakishuin vadiluin misha yipaksu. Various types of gourds, cucumbers and gourds, are subject to truman meiser. Misha yipaksu, when the flower is removed. Vishalopaksu, and if the flower wasn't removed, then misha yamed arema, when you make a pile out of it. And we also say for onions, they are obligated in Truman Meiser when you make a pile of them. Whereas for Shabbos, you are potter for making a pile. So I'm going to come back to that. That's our Ma'amer discussion that we started on last week that I wanted to now move forward with. But just to finish the Gemara. Ela ma'is loch lemeimar. So what are you going to say? Meleches machsheves asra Torah? The answer is, what the Torah prohibited is meleches machsheves, which we have to define, but it means literally a planned type of work, or work that fits a particular plan. Hachanami meleches machsheves asra Torah. That's true over there, where we say that those actions are gemar malacha as far as meiser, but not necessarily for Shabbos. And the same thing is going to be true in our discussion about peeling the barley and collecting a handful of it. It's Gemar Malacha as far as Truman Meiser is concerned. That doesn't make it a Malacha as far as Shabbos is concerned. So I wanted to do two things. Number one was I wanted to discuss the question of why this is not a problem of Ma'amer, the question that we had asked last time. And then number two is to talk about this Maleches Machsheves thing that he brings up, because I think it's an important point in terms of understanding how the laws of Shabbos work. But first of all, Ma'amer. So I said last time that an Omer is not just a measure, although it is a measure of a tenth of an ephah, but an Omer is, as non-farmers, we might use the term sheaf. But that's actually probably not the correct word. It's actually a bundle. An omer is a bundle. And what you do is you take your grain and you put it all together. That is called an omer. And on Shabbos, you're not supposed to create omerim. That's the malacha of me'amer. Our Gemara took it as a given that if you pile up onions, that's not violating Shabbos. That's okay. So the question is, why isn't piling up onions a case of me'amer? So there are three different explanations that I have found that I'd want to present. The first, and they'll give us insight into what exactly this me'amer malacha is and whether it applies to the crumbs on your Shabbos table. So if you take a look first at Rashi, he gives us one approach. Where was it? Yeah, the Rashi v'shalo paksu mishamid arema. It's the end of the third wide line. Right, he's talking about the gourds, and he says kolomar v'iman shalo paksu hamid arema mehen. If you would make a pile of gourds before the flour was removed, kamin kri, like the bale of grain.
Gourds are like
gourds grow on a vine, yeah. And the first thing that comes out on the vine before the gourds grow is this big yellow flower, and then the gourd will emerge.
So it's not flour like bread.
Oh, you are. Yes, sorry. So he says the making a pile out of the gourds establishes them hukbu for true and meiser. Alma, we see hamadas arema havya gemar malach lemeiser. So we see that making a pile constitutes gemar malach as far as meiser is concerned. Ule inyan Shabbos, but as far as Shabbos is concerned, mishehevi betzalim lebeso ein hamadas arema malacha. From the time that you bring the onions home, making an arema is no longer malacha. Rashi says, when you bring them into your house, ma'amer ceases to be relevant.
Because the inconsistency there starts off with gourds and then the ends up with
the salt. Because the Gemara did. The Gemara brought you the gourds and then it brought you the onions. No, because the Gemara on the gourds was the initial one that said that making a pile is going to be your Gemara malacha. So he starts off with that.
Right.
And then he says, as far as the onions, oh, you're asking that really he could have said the same thing regarding the gourds themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did he jump to the salt?
Interesting. I don't know.
This consistent with what we learned before, that taking it to the house is automatically a temporary procedure.
But not as far as Shabbos. No, taking something into your house makes it permanent.
Made it temporary.
No. Bringing something home.
A few weeks ago.
What you're thinking of is when we talked about, right, when we talked about eating them at an early stage,
right,
instead of doing the full processing, we said that we aren't going to look at the early stage process as the Gemar Malacha if you bring it to your house, because that indicates that you're planning on doing the full thing. That's what you're talking about.
When you bring it to the house,
that indicates that you're planning on the full process. And therefore, what you've done now is only a...
I thought it was the other way around. But when you brought it to the house, it was showing that it was temporary.
Mm.
I mean, I think 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
I know what you're talking about. It's more than two or three at this point. But
the time is always off.
But either way, it doesn't relate to this.
Okay.
The point here is a separate discussion of defining Gemar Malacha as far as onions, where you don't have this sort of two possibilities for how you're processing them. In other words, we're dealing there with the wheat that you were crushing between your fingers.
Right.
When you're dealing with the onions, there's nothing like, there's no parallel.
Okay. I was fixating on the word by it.
Okay. So what Rashi is doing here, by telling you that once you bring it into your house, Ma'amer is no longer relevant, is explained by a Tosfos on Daf Lamed Aleph. If you go to the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, then you'd be guilty of Ma'amer. Yeah. So it appears. We're not done, but so it appears.
Lamed Aleph,
Lamed Aleph, 31a at the top. The Mishnah there says, it's talking about Yom Tov discussions, that you're allowed to bring wood, right? You're allowed to bring wood, meaning wood that, as Rashi notes, is talush, it's not connected to the ground. So you're allowed to bring that wood from your field on Yom Tov. There are again discussion there about muktzah, and the question of, is the wood muktzah? You didn't intend to use it beforehand or not. So he says you're allowed to bring in the wood. So writes the Mishnah. And even if it's min hamefuzar, even if it's wood that had been scattered around. And the presumption is you're going to take this wood that had been scattered around and you're going to pile it up in your house. So Tosfos on the top of the page, it's little mini Tosfos, asks, minakarfeva filu min hamefuzar, tema ha-havi ma'amer, dehu av malacha. That's ma'amer, making a pile of the wood. V'yesh lomer de lo shayach imur ela b'makom shegidelim sham. He says, Ma'amer is only an issue in the place where the item grows. So now we have to modify Girard's proposition.
Right.
It's not a distinction between in your house and outside your house.
Right.
Is it in the place where it grew, out in the field? Or has it been transported somewhere else? Once it is transported somewhere else, Ma'amer is no longer relevant. And he tells you, this is visible in the Gemara in Shabbos, Paraklal Gadol. So on your sheet, I brought you that Gemara and Shabbos he's referring to. I was not so clear as to that this was a real proof. But take a look what the Gemara says. The Gemara there, Shabbos and Gimel Amid Beis, is commenting on the Mishnah, which gives us the 39 Malachos. So on the Malacha of Ma'amer, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Hay mani dekanif milcha mi milchasa, Chayav Mishum Ma'amer, a person who gathers salt from where they dry out the water in order to get the salt. They have places where they bake the pans in the sun, and the water evaporates and it leaves behind the minerals. So he says, if you were to collect salt from there, you'd be chayav for ma'amer. And Abaye disagrees, and he says ma'amer only applies to things that grow from the ground. Ein imur ela b'gidulei karka. But what I believe Tosfos is seeing here is the fact that Rava says it's because you take the salt at the place where they, it's not really refining it, but the place where they are producing the salt. Because it's at the place where they're producing the salt, ma'amer is relevant. That's the place where it grew, so to speak. Why would this be a criteria for ma'amer? It has to be where it grew. Why should that be a factor?
It's a normal force.
Because remember that the malacha, in order to be the malacha, has to resemble the original malacha on which it is modeled. The original malacha of ma'amer is when you're processing grain. They're not going to take the grain that they've just threshed and whatevered to, and then transport it piece by piece somewhere else, and then over somewhere else they're going to start piling it up. They pile it up right there. That's where it's called ma'amer.
It's almost like avidushal, ein bishul, achir bishul.
It's funny that you say that, because that's actually going to be relevant in the discussion of ma'amer. So hold the in bishul achar bishul thought. It's going to come up.
How would ma'amer in the Mishkan?
Why would it be any different? They would do wherever they had the grain. I mean, in the Mishkan itself, you're not you have mutton. That's a question in its own right. Do they bring menachos in the midbar? Where would you get wheat and barley and whatever in order to bring a mincha? But the concept of it, of bringing menachos, once your mishkan is in Shiloh, certainly you have it. I think they did. For some reason, I'm remembering that they did get wheat and barley. I'm remembering a discussion, but I don't remember where I'm seeing it. No, I remember it from some Gemara, but I don't remember where. That talks about how they did this.
Why do barley, not korbanos?
So there's a question of what you can bring as a karban in when you're at the Mishkan. They did bring communal karbanos, but they didn't do were private ones. The question is, what's the status of the Mishkan?
Yeah. Does this apply only to edibles? The singing of
So, all we've seen so far is that Abaye is saying it only applies to things that grow from the ground. And he discounted salt.
How about wood?
So, he thought wood did count, right? We're gonna
Mishnah says you can bring it in.
I'm sorry? The Mishnah said that you can bring it, but Tosfos asked, how are you allowed to bring it? And his answer wasn't, well, that's okay because you can't eat it.
Right.
His answer was, that's okay because it's not the place where you chopped it. So that makes it sound like it doesn't have to be edible. There actually is. I read an article where someone wanted to put forward the idea that if it's not edible, maybe this isn't relevant. There is such a view out there, but it was more complicated than that.
The guy who they stole in last week's parsha, he was gathering what?
The kosher shades him. Yeah, gathering the wood. Yeah.
So
I don't think that was ma'amer. I'm not sure. There's a whole discussion about what it was that he actually did. It's not simple and straightforward. But I don't remember offhand what the answer is.
I thought it was wood.
It was wood.
No, that was his. I thought it was his profession. That's what he did for a living. I thought the issue was the Erev.
Right. So again, I don't. I remember that there's a discussion of this in Bava Basra, but I don't remember what they actually say in terms of what it was that he was doing. But no, it would not be ma'amer unless you're going to say it's that he was gathering it in a place where he cut it. In which case, yes, then ma'amer can apply.
What's the desert?
So
wilderness.
They had wood.
Wilderness.
We know, right, two things. One is that it's wilderness and not desert. That's true. But aside from that, we know that they had wood because
they brought it with them.
They had the Atzei Shittim that they brought from Mitzrayim. But in general, they as we understand it, they do have some supply. I mean, they stop off in a couple places. They're at an oasis. And they have Shivim Tamarim and so on.
An oasis.
But clearly what he did got it definitely. So, I mean, it must have been something.
Yeah, no, it's a malacha. They're right. Okay. So the question is, which one?
The question is, why do you do it?
So
if this is al deraisa, what we're talking about now, so if I gather wood, right, that's a halacha deraisa?
So it appears.
And salt also, he replaces the same would be a deraisa.
Well, Abaye says it's not gidulei karka.
Right, but
unless this is one of the Yalkigam, we're gonna follow Rava.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second explanation that's offered for why this isn't Ma'amer is what we saw in the Ritva last week. And that is, Ma'amer only applies if something is very scattered, and the onions we're talking about must not be very scattered. They're already here in close proximity. They're just not a pile. And we saw that. I brought it here. It's source Aleph on your sheets because I didn't apparently number properly. but the Ritva quotes Rashi, who says, as we read, that piling up the onions is not a malacha. Zipirish Rashi. The Eino Gimar Malacha, the end of the Ritva, didin Ma'amer Eino Ela B'mekabetz Dvarim Mefuzarim. He says, Ma'amer is only if you gather things that are really scattered. And the Rambam seems to say this as well.
Isn't that directly
adverse to
the Mishnah?
Why?
The Mishnah says,
Afilu Minam Mefuzar. You're talking about the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph. So, but why would that bother you? He already answered that by giving a different exception. Right? The exception there, Tosa's already answered for you.
Yeah, but
the fact that the Ritva's exception does, the Ritva's exception is not exclusive of Tosa's exception.
But if he says it's only if it's Mefuzer.
Yeah.
And the other one says Afilu Minam Mefuzer.
Yeah, but that's not. No, because the Afilu there is because of the context of the Mishnah. The Mishnah there is talking about Muktzah.
I see.
Yeah. The Afilu isn't because of Ma'amer. Ma'amer is just Tosos being in the. Okay. But take a look at the Rambam, because the Rambam is going to say a few things that are really important for this discussion, one of which is this point about being very scattered. The Rambam writes, Hamadabek peros ad she'asu guf echad chayv mishum ma'amer. He says, if you stick produce together to the point where it becomes one unit, you're liable for ma'amer. Think like dates, figs, you know, where they have like sugary syrup to them that they can actually stick. Lefichach, therefore, mishin ispazru lo peros pilapachatzero malakeid al yad v'ochel. So therefore, if your produce falls and scatters around your yard, pick them up one by one and eat it, because of course that's what you want to do with the stuff that fell in the yard. But pick it up one by one and eat it. Don't put it in the basket or the box the way you would during the week. Because if you do it as you do during the week, you may press them together with your hand as you're stuffing them into the box. And that will bring you to Imur. The Imur Ma'amer. And he says you don't gather salt or things like it because it looks like Ma'amir. It's not Ma'amir, but it looks like
Ma'amir. It's not more Ravana, right?
Sorry?
That would be more Ravana.
Either he's calling it a Tolda.
Or a Raya, he's only talking about food.
Not necessarily. The question is, why is salt different? What is the difference? One possibility is that salt isn't called food. It's true. Another possibility is he's adopting a Baye's view. It's not Gidulei Karka. But the point that I'm bringing from here right now is the second exception is that Ma'amer only applies if they're very scattered, and in our case, they are not. The third of our three explanations is that it's Ma'amer only if you stick it together, and that's what you saw the Rambam say about what I call dates and figs, right? He says it's Ma'amer specifically if they clump together, because that's what you do with grain. When you process the grain, you press it together. Obviously, grain doesn't stick in the way that dates and figs do. But you have to make it as close to being a single unit as you can in order for this to be called Ma'amer. And if you take a look at Source Gimel, you see the Rambam say it more explicitly. Hamakabeit devela va'asmi menu eagle. If you take figs and you gather them together and make them into an eagle. The eagle, if you remember your Bafa Mitzia from grade 6. So eagle devela, and when they, you know, you found the eagle devela, these are the round cakes of pressed figs that they used to make. Or you punch a hole in figs and you put a rope through them, and that's the way I guess they would store them, market them, whatever, until they become one unit. So that's a told of Ma'amer, and you would be liable. And so too with all similar things. How do you know this idea of joining them together? Where do you get it from? Sor Chaim or Zeruah in Source Dalet tells you. He says, Hama Amer lo yadati perusho. He said, I don't know what ma'amar means. In perusha rak sheyesok shibolim yachad v'lo yikshrim laguda achas havi ma'amer, is ma'amer, meaning that you gather sheaves together and you don't tie them up, and that's called ma'amer. Olavi ma'amer et sheyikshrim yachad liyos aguda achas, or maybe not. Maybe it's not ma'amer until you actually tie them up. V'lashon omer hayanira she'eno karoi omer elek shenikshru yachad. He says the word omer really means it's tied together. That's what an omer is. Ki shibalam hamekubatim yachad v'lo nikshru liyos aguda achas eini sabor she'ikarei omer. He says if you take shibalim, sheaves, and you just combine them, but you don't tie them up, that's not called an omer. And he says that's what the indication is from the Rambam's language as well. So you have the Rambam, as well as the Or Zarua and other Rishon, telling you that it's not called ma'amer, because it's not what ma'amer means. Ma'amer means making it into one unit. So therefore, once again, the discussion about the crumbs is defeated. In other words, we said it's ma'amer only on the spot where it grew. This is not where the crumbs grew. The crumbs are not, well, it's hard for me to figure out what very scattered means, but I wouldn't think of it as very scattered. It's basically around where my plate was at the table. The sticking them together, you're not pressing them together. There are still derabanans, and there are still concerns for a separate point called uvda dechol. That it's, there can be actions that we consider weekday-style behavior for you to run around gathering things together. But ultimately, these three explanations show why in our Gemara the onions are not raised as a ma'amer problem. And then I brought you the Aruch HaShulchan in Source Hay, who brings a separate point.
So there are two definitions of ma'amer. One in relation to Maser, and a second in relation to Shabbos.
Yep, that's correct. Now, I should also know, because Alan mentioned before, in Bishul Achar Bishul, so think about that as we go through the Aruch HaShulchan we're about to read. He says, U'pashut hu, d'lo shayach ma'amer ele betvua u'peros shelo ne'afu v'lo nizbashlu v'gam lo nitchanu, sha'adayin hein k'niktzarm u'k'nitlashim. He says, it is obvious that ma'amer is only relevant for grain and fruit which have not been baked, have not been cooked, have not been ground up, so that they are still like something that was just harvested. Because that's where ma'amer happens. Din Lokain, he says, because if you're going to tell me it's not so, ye aser b'shabas lahaniach kama lachamim l'makom echad. Right? You have a whole bunch of rolls that you want to now put out for people to choose from, right? You can't put all your rolls in a basket. Or to put different kinds of fruit in a bowl together. It's specifically when they've been just gathered in the field, in the garden, in the trees. It's not when they're in the house. And certainly after they've been processed in this way. So I saw someone commenting on this idea say, it's just like we say in Bishul Achar Bishul, so too in Techina Achar Techina, and in Imur Achar Imur. Meaning once it's been gathered at some point, there's no further issue. If it scatters, there's no issue of regathering it. I had problems with that particular way of framing it, because we say regarding in Bishul Achar Bishul, that if the first Bishul was reversed, the thing cooled off and there are no after effects, right, with the liquid from the original, then there is Bishul Achar Bishul with water. If I heat up water at some point and then it cools off, come Shabbos, I'm not allowed to cook it again and say, well, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So I'm not so sold on the Ein Imur Achar Imur idea. But what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying is that it clearly does not apply. So in terms of the question that we were discussing, the crumbs and so on, Ma'amer is not an issue. And in terms of the issue of our Gemara, the onions and so on, it's also not an issue.
Okay, but people that put fruit on a skewer, like for dessert,
yeah,
does not bind it to one? Like that would be like the dates, and that would be an issue?
So if I'm going to follow Rashi and Tosfos, it's not the place where this grew.
Right.
It's still.
I'm talking about the Rambam.
Right. The Rambam also mentioned, though, only if they're very scattered, right, and you bring them together. Mishnis Pazrulo. right? If they weren't scattered, they were already there in the bag, and I just took them out and put them on a skewer, I don't think that you're going to have the issue. There is a more complicated discussion. If you really want, I can send you a link to an article on Gush's website where I saw a further discussion about sort of combining some of these, meaning maybe we're more strict if it's actually being stuck together, and then we'll apply the Isser even if it's not in the place where it grew, that sort of thing.
What about Min Bimino?
What do you mean?
Well, in other words, if it's not Min Bimino, does it actually be... Actually,
a rumba itself. It doesn't stick together.
Like it can.
Well, it can. I can stick plates and fix together.
Just because you put them on a skewer or something? They're actually going to combine?
So that's an interesting question. I thought you were asking something else. In terms of the question that I thought you were asking, the combining is combining, whether we look at them as one unit or not. If they're stuck together, they're stuck together. But in terms of the point that you're making, that was already defeated by, I think it was the Rambam. The Maharaj or Zerua, who talked about stringing things together, the strings were holding it together, and it's still called Ma'amer.
Right, he doesn't call it Ma'amer unless it's actually physically combined.
But tying it together, he does. He says tying together is.
Well, tying together the same.
Yeah.
Same
actually, I'm sorry, it wasn't the Zerua, it was the Rambam.
It's the Rambam.
It was the second Rambam.
Yeah, but Zerua basically said it's not enough to tie it together, right?
Well, only because he requires that it be. Only that, well. No, I don't think he said that. I think he said that tying it together would, in fact, make it. He said, Shibalam Kubatsim Yachat Velo Nikshuru. But no, Velo Nikshuru. It's that it go earlier in the line. Omer Hayanira She'eno Kare Omer Elekshen Nikshuru Yachat. He didn't say it has to be one entity. It's the tying that is sufficient.
In that other Rambam, he doesn't say it has to be spread out. In other words, he's just saying if you string them together.
Correct. Pizur was only mentioned in the first one.
First.
That's correct. But we have the Ritva also.
Okay.
The other piece that I wanted to take some time on is this Malachas Machsheves discussion and what we're talking about here. Because Malachas Machsheves is something that really requires some explanation. The Gemara had said, going back to our Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that the definition as far as Shabbos is Malachas Machsheves. Unlike the definition for Truman Meiser. Processing for Truman Meiser doesn't have to be Melechas Machshavas. So Rashi there writes on this, Rashi Elamayis Lach Lameimar, three lines up from the bottom, he says, Aval Gab Dela Meiser Havi Melacha, even though for Meiser purposes this is called Gemara Lacha, in fact, L'Shabbos Melechas Machshavas, Shehi Melechas Umnus, Asra Torah. As far as Shabbos is concerned, what the Torah prohibits is Meleches Machsheves, which is Meleches Umnus, work of craft. Right. Shenismucha Parsha Shabbos Meleches HaMishkan V'Vayakel, because Shabbos is juxtaposed with the Melech of creating the Mishkan at the beginning of Parsha V'Vayakel, V'Hasa Meleches Machsheves Ksiv, and there the Torah says Meleches Machsheves, that's how I know the Melechos of Shabbos, in order to be Malachos, have to be Malachos Machsheves, and that's reflected in the Targum. Unkelus, on the Pasuk, which says, which uses the term Malachos Machsheves, it's Shmos Lamed Hei Lamed Gimel. Did I bring it on here?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Right. The Pasuk in the Hebrew says, Ubacharoshes Eben Lamalos Ubacharoshes Eitz Lasos Bechol Malachos Machsheves. That's the Pasuk. So in the Aramaic, Unkelus writes, "Ubu humanus even tava lashlama, uvenagarus aa, lemebad bechol avidas umanvan." That's his translation of Meleches Machshavas. He says, "Avidas umanvan, the work of craftsmen." That's so. Rashi is taking this idea that you see also in the Targum. So on this, I brought you a Gemara Baba Kama. If you take a look at your sheet, source Zion. And this is something that I saw in a sefer called Daf al Hadaf on Shabbos Kuf Hei Amud Beis. But he said this was coming from a sefer called the Asher L'Shlomo or Mordechai Shlomo Berman, which you can find online at HebrewBooks.org, but I didn't find what he was saying. It said I didn't find in that sefer. So, don't know. But the Gemara Baba Kama is source Zion. Tani Rabbi Abahu Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mekalkalin Peturin Chutz Mechovel Umavir. The Gemara Baba Kama Lama Dalet Amud Beis, it also increases Daf Yates Amud Beis. They say that, in general, if I do a Malacha of Shabbos, one of the 39, but I do it in a destructive way, I'm Pater. I'm exempt from liability. That's the general rule. So, for example, you... I need a good, solid example. Dash, right? We said dash is if you take things that were combined together and you separate them off from where they were. That's the whole threshing discussion, separating the peas from the pod and the whole bit, right? So what if you do that, but you do it in a completely destructive way? You take your solid thing and you throw it down into the sewer and it smashes there and no one's going to use it. So let's mekalkel your potter. However, there are two malachos for which that's not true. One is chovel, wounding, and the other is mavir, lighting a fire, where we say that even though you do it in a destructive way, nonetheless you're going to be chayav, and the commentators explain that regarding chovel, it's because malachas machshavas is not required when you're dealing with chovel.
Is that the natural way for chovel?
Well, that's one point you could make, is that chovel is naturally destructive, and that's part of the discussion. But what the commentators there, take a look at Rashi and Shabbos Kuf Amud Beis, what they explain is that Malachas Machsheves is not required for liability for chovel. Normally, it has to be Malachas Machsheves. Chovel doesn't need it, for whatever reason. That's piece number one that you need to know. Piece number two is a halacha regarding get. The Shulchan Aruch writes that a get has to be written lechatchila with the sofer's right hand. There's no shinoi involved. It's written in a normal way with the sofer's right hand. So the Beis Shmuel commentary to the Shulchan Aruch is source Ches, says the following: ulechatchila yichtov biyado ha'imanis. He says ideally it should be written in the right hand. That's the Shulchan Aruch's line. L'chora mashma b'diyeved kasher im kasa v'yado asmois. It sounds like l'chatchila you should do it, because that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It doesn't just sound like it. L'chatchila you should do it with your right hand, but if you did it with his left hand, it's still kasher im kasa v'yado asmois. Afilam eino sholeit b'shtei adav, even if he's not ambidextrous. V'chein kasav b'echal gas mechokek. So wrote the Chal gas mechokek as well. V'kasav af al gav im kasav b'shabes b'yado asmois potur. He says, even though, when it comes to Shabbos, if you're a righty and you write with your left hand, it's pater avalaser, right? You're rabbinically prohibited, but not biblically. Shmamina lav ksavu, which indicates that it's not called writing. Otherwise, why would you be pater for Shabbos? Nonetheless, he says, Shani Shabbos, tibuina malachas machshavas. Shabbos is a different story because you require malachas machshavas. So what the Beis Shmuel says is that malachas machshavas is the reason why you are pater for doing a malacha in an unusual way. In other words, let me frame that a little bit differently. Writing with your left hand on Shabbos is pater, not because it's not called writing. It is called writing. Proof of it, it's valid for a get. However, the reason why you're going to be pater if you write with your left hand is because it's not called malachas machshavas.
So, I'm a calculating for you. Just destroying for the sake of destroying your potter because it's not malacha machshavas. There's no malacha there.
So we've said two things. Right. One, we said in Bava Kama was mekalkel is not malacha machshavas.
Right.
And two, we're saying doing something kel achar yad is not called malacha machshavas.
It's not omnis,
maybe? Sorry?
Because it's not a skilled way of doing it?
Because it's not a
way that a craftsman would do it?
One second. I'm it's not
the way a craftsman would do it. It's not a professional way.
Right. Let's call it that. Yes. Let's give that as our, for now at least, let's give that as our explanation. So we have two facts that we're going to have to join together. Okay? Like Ma'amir, sort of. But so let's make sure we understand the two facts, because that was why I had to hesitate for a second, because I was trying to put them together and it wasn't working. The Gemara Baba Kama says that Mekalkel with chovel is chayav, because chovel doesn't require malachas machshavas. That's piece number one. Piece number two is that in general you are pater for doing malacha in an unusual way, kelachar yad, because it's not Malachas Machsheves. So now let's combine those. What if I do Chovel Kila Achar Yad? Am I Chayev or Potter?
Can we back up one step?
Yeah.
Okay, why are you saying that Chovel is because it's not Malachat Machashavet, but it's still Aser? I mean, could it be Mekalkel is just a totally separate category? In other words, if you do a Malach...
If I do 37 out of the 39 as Mekalkel, I am Pater.
Right. But it could be because it's Mekalkel, but Chovel, you're automatically damaging something. Same way that when you burn... The two that are exceptions are Be'ira and Chovel, where both you're damaging things in the normal process.
Yeah. No, that's that was what Alan had said. And that's part of the discussion of why it should be different.
But maybe they're exclusive. In other words, maybe it has nothing to do with
Right. So, the point isn't that. The point is the other way. Okay. The very fact that you're going to tell me that I'm putter from a kalkiel tells me I don't need it to be Malachas Machsheves. If I required it to be Malachas Machsheves, the fact that it is Mekalkel by its very nature wouldn't save me. It's not subject to the rules of Malachas Machsheves.
Right. I'm saying it could be two totally exclusive ideas.
What do you mean?
One idea is, if you're doing a Malacha, and it's even if you do it with intent, but it's destructive, you're putter. So
you know,
even if you're doing it as an expert... Okay, but it's to Mekalkel.
I'll tell you what, hold the thought, because you might be going where we're going with it. So
okay.
Hold the thought with that. To make sure that we're on the same page in terms of what we've said. Baba Kama says that Chovel, in a Mekalkel way, is Chayav, right. And we deduced from there that Chovel doesn't require Malachas Machsheves. That's what Rashi and Shabbos says. That's our assumption. Second is that generally speaking, the reason why I'm putter for doing something in an unusual way is because it's not Malachas Machsheves. So if I'm dealing with Chovel, and you're telling me that Chovel doesn't need to be Malachas Machsheves, if I do Chovel Kila Achar Yad, I should still be Chayev.
Right.
I should still be liable.
Right.
Because there's no out of, well, it wasn't Malachas Machsheves. That's the idea. Except we have a problem, which is source tes, the Gemara in Suvos. Gemara in Suvos is talking about somebody who is ill, and the doctor says that he needs to have fresh milk straight out of the animal. So he's going to nurse from a goat on Shabbos. So Tanya, Rabbi Marinus, Omer Goneach, he says someone who is Goneach, who is moaning. I think Rashi there mentions that it's some kind of a heart problem, they think. So Yomnei Kolov B'Shabbos. He's allowed to drink straight from the animal on Shabbos. My timer, why? Why is that allowed? He's not deathly ill. That's not what we're talking about. So it's not a pikuach nefesh. So why is this allowed? Yomnei Mifareik Kila Achar Yad. Because nursing is under the malacha of Mifareik. He has to break up the dad in order for the milk to come out. That's the way nursing works. So so it's mifarek, but it's l'achar yad, it's a shinui. It's not breaking something up in the normal way. In the normal way, you break something up. You have a solid, and you break it up into components. That's not what's happening here. So it's called with a shinui, u'makom tzara lo gazir rabbanan. And he's in pain, so therefore the rabbanan doesn't apply. Rav Yossi says, Allah follows Rabbi Marinus. So the point is that we're saying here that the reason why he is patur for Yoneik is because he's doing it Kalacha Yad. But Yoneik, the Malacha, is Mefarek, breaking something up. Mefarek is Dash, right, threshing, which we understand to be linked to Chovel. If you take a look at the Rambam in Sur Sid Aleph, Hadash Kegro Geres Chayav, if you thresh a dried fig amount of food, that's the minimum for it to be considered significant. Your chayav. Ve'ein disha le'begidulei karka, threshing only applies to things that grow from the ground. Va'mefarek harayu tolda didash, tolda sadash, and mefarek is itself a subset of dash. Hacholi v'sabahema chayav b'shum mefarek, if you nurse from an animal that's mefarek. V'chein achovel b'chai, and so too wounding somebody. B'chai sheyesh lo or, if you wound someone who has a hide, chayav mishum mefarek, you're liable for mefarek, you're breaking off the skin to create the bruise. So chovel, here's the point, is a subset of mefarek, which is dash. They all go together. So my question is, not my question, the Daf HaLadaf presents the question, why are you potter for nursing on Shabbos? I'm not talking about a baby nurse, that's not a discussion. I'm talking about the person who is an adult, who is ill, and you're saying to him he's allowed to nurse from the animal, because after all, it's kila achar yad. But you just told me Chovel doesn't have kila achar yad as an invalid exemption. Chovel kila achar yad is usur. So what's going on? So that brings me to the point that we wanted to get to here. Rav Mordechai Shlomo Berman in his Asher L'Shlomo is the sefer that's quoted in the Daf Al Adaf on this. He says, there are two separate issues in the standard of Meleches Machsheves. He says, issue number one is that the actor has to intend to do the malacha as it is performed in the Mishkan. That's one. Issue number two is that it has to be an act of umnus. As Rashi states here, it has to be something like a craftsman would do. So he suggests, maybe we could say that chovel is only excluded from the former standard. When we say that chovel that is mekalkel is patur, I'm sorry, chovel is chayav, that's because being mekalkel doesn't exempt you from liability. But kila achar yad, which is a lacking in the unus side of it, is still the standard for chovel. He's distinguishing between two different types of kila achar yad. There is kila achar yad, which is you didn't do this in a constructive way, and there's kila achar yad that is you didn't do. I'm sorry. There's kila achar yad that you didn't do this the way it's done in the Mishkan, and then there's kila achar yad that you didn't do it as a craftsman would do it. And chovel is only exempt from the former standard, the standard of doing it the way that it's done in the Mishkan. However, remember, the way they did it in the Mishkan was in terms of, saying it's threshing, then it's threshing grain. If I'm saying that it's wounding, it's when they would, they needed to get the blood from inside the, actually no, it wasn't blood, I'm sorry, when they got from the murex, when they drew the dye out of the murex, yeah. By the way, you have to catch the Avodah Zarah Shir, the Shabbos. We have a very odd source for the murex being treles. The unusual source for it, but in terms of what's going on here, chovel is excluded from the standard of being like it was done in the Mishkan. It doesn't have to be like in the Mishkan, and that's why you will be chayav in the case of chovel that is mekalkel. That is mekalkel. However, if you do it in a way that is constructive, or destructive, doesn't matter, but you do it in an unusual way, so it's not onus, then you will be potter. And that's what's going on in the case of Yonik, in the case of the one who is nursing. And the reason why I wanted to make sure to bring it, as you know, once we have this jumping off point in Rashi about Meleches Machsheves, is because it gives us two different ways to look at the issue of Mekalkel / Kila Achar Yad, or two different ways to look at Meleches Machsheves, really. On the one hand, Meleches Machsheves means do it the way they did it in the Mishkan. On the other hand, as Rashi is emphasizing here, it means do it as a craftsman would do it. And if you take out one of those components, potentially, unless you think with Chovel Amavir, if you take one of those components, you won't be chayav. Right. So that's the idea.
So if you're doing it for Raful, isn't by its nature the way a craftsman would do it?
No, not necessarily. No, because it's the act of threshing that we're talking about. It's not the act of healing. Healing isn't a malacha. The malacha that you're talking about is the av malacha. So, yeah, that wouldn't be relevant. All right, we'll pick up with the Kates and Molel, I guess, God willing, next week.